Now, I want you to start with verse 14 in John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. It's already condemned, in case you didn't know. Into the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if your Bible takes begotten out of it, you need to throw it away and buy you a Bible. Begotten means born of. Now, he was born of a woman. He was already the Son of God. He's born of the woman in human flesh. Get you a Bible that says begotten. King James Bible says it. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. I want to talk to you just a little bit about John 3:16. I haven't always had it for my favorite verse in the Bible, but it is probably the best known and the most favored verse in the Bible. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and if you will, I'm going to ask Brother Ron, will you pray for the sermon today?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before thee this day. Lord, we ask you to anoint the preacher, Lord. Give him what he needs from above.
Yes, Lord, Lord, please.
Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for each and every one. Lord, if there's one in here today that don't know you, have a plea, Lord, to sing. God, let this be today.
Yes, Lord.
Hear your word. Lord, the word they'll understand. If you were a minute blessed. Father, we thank you for
this. Amen. I always loved learning. I always loved learning. Being a poor kid, family of nine children, didn't have a lot of opportunity for books and everything, but I always loved learning. I loved it. I had trouble reading until I was in the fourth grade. I couldn't read. I made D's and F's in the first, second, and all through there, and got in fourth grade and had a teacher named Miss Hale, meanest teacher in the school. And she noticed I was copying a little boy's paper one time. I was looking over his shoulder and I was sitting at the back of the room, and she noticed. She said, "Ronnie, you can't read that." I said, "No, ma'am, I can't read that up there. I have to read it off of his." She said, "Come with me." And I thought I was going to get a whipping. And she took me to the principal's office, and she told Miss Boyce, the principal of Dobson Elementary School in Lancaster, "Ronnie's been copying papers off the guy in front of him. He can't read the board." And I thought that Miss Boyce, she was the next to the meanest woman in Lancaster County. And I thought I was going to get a whipping. But instead, she gave me an eye test, you know, to have those eye charts. And she made me read it, and I couldn't read it. Boy, I was embarrassed. And I got scared, you know, fourth grade, what I know. And so she said, "We're going to call your mama." So they called my mama, and they said, "Miss Roddy, Ronnie cannot see. He needs to go to the eye doctor." And my mama said, "Well, I don't have the money to take Ronnie to the eye doctor. He'll just have to make do." And Miss Boyce said, "Well, he can't make do. He can't see." And she said, "We'll take care of it." So that day, right there in front of me, they called the Lions Club. And the Lions Club, which, by the way, if anybody around here knows where they meet, please tell me. I've been looking for years. But the Lions Club made me an appointment with the doctor uptown Lancaster, and they paid for the appointment. They paid for the checkup, and they also ordered my first pair of glasses, and they paid for my glasses. And I'll never forget walking out of that doctor's office right off Main Street in Lancaster as a little old fourth grader, and I looked around. Whoa, I could see the horizon. I saw things I'd never seen. I saw the horizon. I'd never seen that. I saw people's faces across the street. I'd never seen that. And that night I looked up at the sky, and I'd never seen over four or five stars, and I saw thousands of stars. And I saw clouds I'd never seen. They said there was a man in the moon. I'd never seen the man in the moon until I got glasses. I saw the man in the moon. But that day, I was enlightened. I was enlightened. It was not a new birth, but it almost was. I began to read. I loved to read. I wanted to learn, and I'd read. And I wanted to read. But I couldn't before because I couldn't see. And so now I could see. And then for just a little bit of time, my mama let me join the Boy Scouts. There's a troop on the Mill Hill there, and they said that I could join. I joined it and went up the belts, and she didn't have the money to buy me a new uniform, so they sold me an old one. They sell used ones. And, of course, the green on them was about 5 shades lighter than the new ones, and I was stuck out. But anyway, I went to the Mill Hill, and the man would come get me. He'd put me in the back of his station wagon. I'd get in the back of that station wagon. It'd be full of boys. You know, back then, they put the seats down. Who needs seat belts or helmets or pads? You know, he'd have 15 boys in the back of that big old Chevrolet station wagon. We'd be back there, you know. And there was always this one little blonde-headed boy from the Mill Hill, and he always was reading a book. And I thought, well, what is that book? One day I'm going to sit over next to him. I'm going to find out what that book is. So I went over there, and that little boy was reading a comic book. And he introduced me to comic books. And you know what? I started reading comic books. And they cost 10 cents. And every time I'd get 10 cents, there was a drugstore up on the corner there at Airport Crossroads. And I'd go up there to the drugstore and the gas station. And I'd go in the drugstore and I'd buy me 10 cent comic books every time I'd get 10 cents. And I had them all, kids. I had some of the oldest Batmans, the oldest Spider-Mans, the oldest Dark Shadow and Green Lantern and all that stuff. I had them all. I read them all. And then it went from there. I just fell in love with reading. When I got into junior high school, then, you know, you had, and still do, you know, you had individual classes. And I loved English class. I loved English class. I hated math. Math was made from the devil, and I hated math. But the English came from God. I knew it did. And so I loved English, and I loved doing English, and I loved reading the stories. I'd go to public library, and I read all these things. Y'all don't think I'm crazy or I was a nerd or something. I wasn't. But I read Ivanhoe in the junior high school. I read the Greek and the Roman myths in the junior high school. I read Edgar Allan Poe and all his books, that weirdo. And I read Jules Verne's, you know, like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And I read all that stuff, and I'd read it. I read Mark Twain books, and some of you kids need to read some Mark Twain books. It'd make a better person out of you. I read Herman Melville's books like Moby Dick and on and on and on. And I just read and I'd read and I'd read. And I loved reading. And I went places I'd never been by reading, and I could see things I'd never seen. And it all started with that pair of glasses. Opening my eyes. Amen. So then I met my wife, and that ruined my reading. I didn't have time to read. I had to be at her house every day. It turned out my boss man was her next door neighbor. I got a job at Rock Hill Print and Finishing. Mr. Rayner was my boss man, and C.W. Rayner, his wife used to go here and passed away since we started this church. Sweet woman. And, he told the men at work, he said, that poor woman next door said, Ronnie, called me Hippie, said, Hippie's always over there at that girl's house. That woman can't get no rest. Her mama said every time she throws the dishwater out, she hits him in the face. He won't go home. But then we got married and we started having children. And for some reason, there used to be community cash on Cherry Road. You remember community cash? You ain't a real Rock Hillian if you don't community cash. And, but community cash, for a while they were owned by Christians. So they had these little twirl around book racks like comic books, except these were Christian books. And I started reading Christian books about Armageddon and the second coming of Christ and the rapture. And I started reading these things, and it was opening my eyes, but I was scared to death. I didn't understand what I was reading because I didn't know anything about the Bible. But it scared me. There was the end of the world. There was a meeting God. There was a judgment, things like that. And boy, I began to read that. And the more I read, the more I wanted until I got saved. Then I started reading the Bible. I tried to read the Bible before, couldn't read it because it was Greek to me. You know what I'm talking about. But then I got saved and the author moved in, the Holy Spirit moved in, and I could understand the Bible. And I'm not saying I understood it all immediately, but I could open it and read it and pretty well understand what I read, where before I couldn't even understand a bit of it because I'd gotten born again. God had given me my spiritual glasses and He'd opened my spiritual eyes and I got born again then. And, look, I'd read the Bible and I'd read the Bible. Can you imagine a little redneck boy, 23, 24 years old, just got saved, sitting on the smoking booth bench, watching his machine run at the industrial cotton mill with that blue dust flying everywhere, and he's done got somebody's Bible, and he reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," now, boy, I heard my name right there, "if run and believe on Him, he should not perish, but have everlasting life." Boy, hey, I read that thing, and I was sitting there crying, and Tommy Owens, who later on became one of our deacons, he's in heaven now, Tommy Owens come by, and I was crying. I said, "You ever read this? Have you ever read this?" He said, "Yeah, hundreds of times." I said, "Why hadn't somebody told me this stuff?" And I just want to share a few things about you. The great, what they call the greatest verse in the Bible. I'm going to throw a few things at you and I'm sure you'll agree with me. But number one, I want to show you some great things in this verse. Amen. See, a lot of people read the Bible and they just read through. There's treasures in those verses.
Yes.
There's pearls in those verses. There's jewels in those verses. There's honey in those verses. But you got to take time and study them and read them. And don't just read over them. Read them. And put your name in there.
Right.
Later on, he said, God began to deal with me about preaching. A few months later, six months later, I'd read about Moses and God calling Moses. And I'd hear my name in there. And I'd read about Paul on the road to Damascus, and I'd hear my name instead of Paul's name. You got to read it. Take your time and read it. Let God talk to you. And before you read it, say, "God, speak to me."
Yes. Amen.
This is not a math book. This is not a literature book. This is not a comic book. It's the real thing. God, speak to me. And He'll speak to you. I'm afraid we've got a whole generation of people in the churches now who believe the Bible and read the Bible, but they never ask God to speak to them through the Bible.
Come on now. Yeah.
Number one, it's the greatest God. For God. You can stop right there.
That's right.
The greatest God. He's greater than any man or woman. He's greater than any woman or man. He's greater than the scholar. He's greater than the educator. He's greater than the scientist. He's greater than the inventor. He's greater than any politician or ruler. He's greater than any general or any warrior. He's God.
Amen.
For God. The greatest thing that's ever existed or ever will exist. God. He's the creator. He's the God that created everything and holds it together. Colossians 1:16-18 says, "By Him all things were created and all things consist." He created the oceans and the seas. And I got to think about it, the Black Sea, the Baltic Sea, the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Antarctic and the Arctic and all these things. God created that. No explosion do that. He created the mountains, the Allegheny Mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, Mount Pisgah, Black Mountains, Mount Sinai, Mount Helena, Mount Everest, Mount Pisgah. He created them all. God did that. He's the greatest God. You take those Roman gods and those Greek gods I read about, they didn't create a stinking thing. And they don't hold anything together because they're not real. But God, He created the moons, the stars, Venus, Mars, Pluto, Jupiter, Earth, the Milky Way, the universe, and all the galaxies. God did that. We need to teach our kids this stuff again. You just think they're going to catch it. They're not going to catch it. Somebody needs to get them some glasses so they can see it. He's the greatest God. Did you know He holds it all together?
Right.
Did you know there's universes within universes?
Yeah.
We look out, John, we see the Milky Way and all the other things out there, and we see the galaxies in the universe. But you young people, listen to me. You can take one cell off of your body and look at it under microscopes, and there are universes within your cells.
Amen.
You got the nucleus and all these things. You got the protons floating around there. It looks like a little galaxy inside of each cell. Every cell looks like that. Billions of little universes. And guess what? God holds it together. If He took His hand off of you, you'd fly all to pieces. Well, my teacher said, or the scientist said, I don't care what they said. God created that, and God holds it together. You can't explain it away, and you can't even explain it. You take a drop of water out of the ocean. Y'all listening? Take a drop of water out of the ocean. Put it under the most powerful microscope they've got. And you'll see universe after universe. And you'll see one thing in that drop of water. And you go deeper and you'll see something else. You go deeper and you'll see something else. You'll see something else into infinity. God did that. When I talk about the old man upstairs, you irreverent, ignorant person to say such a thing like that, for God created.
Amen.
And then He says, so loved. Now, I grew up, we didn't know much about love. We didn't even use the word. We didn't know what love meant. I think my whole generation was like that. We didn't hug each other's neck and say, I love you, mama, or mama say, I love you, son. We didn't do all that stuff. We didn't know what love was. So anything that came along that stirred our little hearts, we thought that was love. And it was usually carnal and lustful. But God so loved, a pure love, an undefiled love.
Yes.
Yeah. And look, His love is greater than the love of a mother for a child.
Right.
Or a child for a mother. His love's greater than a father for a son, or a son for the father, or a mother for the daughter for the mother. So love. Greater love than we can do or we'll ever know. His love is greater than the husband for a wife, or the wife for the husband, or a brother for a sister, or a sister for the brother. So love. The greatest amount. That word so. The greatest amount that's ever been loved, and the greatest group that's ever been loved. The whole world. Now, most people love like this. Well, I love you as long as you love me.
Amen.
Yeah. That's not God. I'm just going to love you, He said. I'm going to love you so much, I'm going to let my son die in your place. As undeserving you are, and as many times as you turn away from me, and all those times you call me a liar, and all those times you said I'm not true, I'm just going to so love you, I'm going to let you live by letting my son die in your place.
Thank you, Jesus.
1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word means payment. Now, I love you. I love you. I love everybody in this building. I don't know anybody I hate. I know some people I don't like. But to hate somebody means I just assume they go to hell, and I don't want anybody to go to hell. Now, before I was saved, I told a few. Since I've been saved, I've not told anybody that. I've not even thought that. Come on.
Amen.
The love of God won't let you think about sending people to hell. There's some people I don't like. Some people I don't want to be around, but I don't want anybody to go to hell. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I can't hate. I can dislike, I can be displeased with, but I can't hate you. We sing that song, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Here it goes. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because He first loved me. God's love so loved. Listen to this. John 15:13 says this, no greater love hath any man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Now, I love you, but I can't die for you. On the battlefield, I might could die for you or with you, But I can't die for you to go to heaven. I can't do that. And I love you, but I don't think I could sacrifice one of my children for you. I'm being honest. I don't think. I got a daughter right over there. And I don't think I could put them on the line and take you off. I don't think I could do it. But God can.
Yes.
God did that.
Yes,
he put his son on that cross so you wouldn't have to die and go to the devil's hell. God so loved. I love you, but I don't so love. I don't have the love of God as the way he has it. Y'all understand? Y'all young people, listen to me. Young people throw that word around too much, love. You don't even know what love is until you're willing to lay something down for somebody else. That's love. Love doesn't seek its own, he said in 1 Corinthians 13. It seeks the good of somebody else. Love does. And then I thought about that other word. There's a greatest present that's ever been given. God gave his only begotten son. That's the greatest present that's ever been given on planet earth. I got thinking the other day, I love history. I love South Carolina history and all that. And there was a king that gave the place called Carolinas, gave it, now it's North and South Carolina, gave it in honor of his daughter, Caroline, Princess Caroline. And so we named it Carolina, South Carolina, North Carolina. Now, I can't give you a state. I barely can give you a statement. But I can share the love of God with you.
Yes.
And that's the greatest gift that's ever been given.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, his only begotten son. Now, a lot of people's given a lot of expensive presents. And they've destroyed their children doing it. But a lot of people leave their children a lot of money. And then those children still die and go to a devil's hell where if they really loved them, they'd give them the greatest present that's ever been given, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
People tell me they love God and they've been saved by the love of God and then they don't even take their children to church. They don't attend church. Well, the love of God's what church is all about.
Amen.
This is not an organization. This is an organism. It's a bunch of people in the body of Christ here. We're all connected by the love of God through Christ Jesus. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Now, so he doesn't just love, he so loved.
Yes.
God so loved. That's more love than anybody on planet Earth or all of us put together could ever give to anybody. That he gave his only begotten son. And then that second part, the world. That's the greatest group of people. Now there's a lot of people done a lot of good for different organizations. They call them philanthropists. Did I say that right? You school teachers, philanthropists. They're known for giving money away and building children's homes or whatever. Y'all still with me? I need to get over here on this side. They're all asleep. Listen, these people have been known for giving away great amounts of money. We're not talking about $100. We're talking about hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars.
Yes.
And a lot of it given away uselessly. Didn't do any good for anybody. My wife and I have been hooked on PBS, these British dramas they make, you know. It's like going to the theater, you know, where they did the plays. And of course we got that little translator button on there to where even though they speak English, they don't speak it right. So we have to do that closed caption so we can understand what those British and Irish people are really saying. You know, like somebody from New York does when they come to South Carolina, they put on that closed, there needs to be a closed caption right here while I'm talking. I ain't making fun of you, I make fun of me, okay? Now, listen. We've watched these things. And every one of them, there must be 10 or 20 of these things they've produced. And every one of them has a man and woman's name at the beginning of it in the credits because they donated all the money to make these things. millions and millions and millions of dollars given to make TV shows. Now we get a little enjoyment out of it, but it ain't going to keep nobody out of hell. Amen.
That's right.
And but see, God so loved the whole world that He didn't just do it for a little group of people like me and my wife or some other, you know, nerds like us that like to watch PBS. God so loved the world, the greatest group that's ever been loved or done anything for. Not just the Baptist, not just the Presbyterian, not the Methodist and the Episcopalian and the Lutherans no, the whole world. Not just the white or the black or the red or the yellow. The whole world. The greatest group that anything's ever been done for in the history of the entire universe. God so loved the whole world. Everyone, red, yellow, black, and white, every nation, every tribe, every language, every family, every individual on planet Earth, God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. The pretty ones, the not so pretty ones, the intelligent, the not so intelligent, the educated, the not so educated, the good and the not so good, the rich and the poor, the whole world. He's got the whole world in His hands. That's why I got you to sing that song. God, the greatest group that's ever been affected by one deed, God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. One deed covers everyone that's ever been born and everyone that ever will be born. One deed, one verse, for God so love the world. I'm glad I'm part of that world. I don't think anybody lives on another planet. I think there's some that should. But I don't think there's any that do. And they're trying to get there. Some of them's trying to get there. And most of them, when I hear them talk, I say, amen, take off. Amen, take off. It's worth $50 billion of our tax dollars. Y'all go. Take some with you. They've been watching too much science fiction. Amen. But look, God so loved everybody on this planet. And we sing, got the whole world in His hands. Y'all listen. He's got you and me, brother, in His hand. You and me, sister. Got the tiny little baby. Why like that? That's the biggest group that one act has ever affected the whole world. Now, we had Hiroshima, Nagasaki in World War II, and millions of people have died in wars like that and affected the whole world. But the whole world did not die, and the whole world wasn't affected the same way. Where in this is the whole world. Everybody can be saved because this one deed done. And then I want you to see something else. It's the greatest invitation. It's the greatest invitation right here in this verse. Look at verse 14. Greatest invitation. I read it to you. And as Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you remember the story in the wilderness, the Israelites had been rebellious and God sent poisonous snakes to chastise them and they were dying left and right. And Aaron and Moses went to God and God said, take what's killing them. Make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole and tell them whoever looks at that pole would live. And the Bible says everybody looked, lived, everybody didn't die. And he said, now if you'll just lift, as Moses lifted up that serpent, Jesus was lifted up in the same manner.
Amen.
And he said, as Moses lifted, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. You're already condemned. The wages of sin is death. He come to what? That through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In other words, you're calling God a liar. That's not sufficient, God. That won't save me, God. That's not enough, God. I got another way to do it, God. You're calling God a liar, and you're not going to heaven. Now, you listen to me. If you'll just read the Bible, I mean read the Bible. You young people, y'all ain't read the Bible all week. Be quiet, I'm preaching. When God calls you to preach, you can preach. He ain't going to do it, you're a woman. But let me tell you something. God has the greatest things in the Bible that are unknown because people simply will not read it.
Amen.
Last but not least, did you know it's the greatest promise?
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, we all made promises in our life, haven't we? And sometimes we fall through and sometimes we don't. Yeah, I can start right here and go all the way around here and all the way around here and all the way back up here. And that little boy hiding out in that room back there, I go back there and buy his mama and buy his daddy and those two ushers back there. I can go by them. And you listen to me, every one of us has made promises and every one of us kept and broke promises. But God made the greatest promise in the world that only He could keep.
Amen.
I said it, I love you, but I can't save you.
Yeah.
He said, but have everlasting life. So those who receive Him receive life, and those who reject Him, they reject the life. God doesn't reject them, they reject the life, they reject God, they don't want to be saved.
Amen.
I used to be one of them. And you were too.
Amen.
And God wasn't rejecting us. He sent His only Son, begotten Son, to be crucified in our place so we could be saved. And He had already said, you'll come, I'll receive you. And we said, no, God, we're not going to do that. I'm having too much fun right here. When I get old like the preacher, and I can't go ice skating, roller skating, and biking, and I can do all those things, by the way, as long as my wife helped me up when I fall. But I can't, when I get old like Brother Ron, my health failing, and I can't drink no more, or it'll kill me. I can't drug anymore, my liver won't take it. Then I'll receive Him as my Savior. Well, you called God a liar so many times, He might just say like He does in Psalms, He says, I'll just laugh at your plan.
Oh, yeah. Come on, brother.
Yeah.
I gave you the greatest promise to the greatest amount of people. I gave you the greatest love. I let you live all these years trying to get you to get saved, and you wouldn't do it. So now you're going to go to the greatest condemnation, and you condemned yourself. I didn't do that.
Amen.
Because when I called, you would not answer.
Amen.
Preacher is doing so good talking about the love of God, and they're trying to scare us. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to just tell you the truth. Do you think He sent His Son to die for you so you wouldn't receive Him? Do you think He went through all the trouble and let Him suffer the beatings you ought to got and spitting you ought to got on you and the slapping you ought to got and the hair pulled out, yours ought to been pulled out and the beard pulled out? And do you think that He nailed Him on the cross and that you're better than that? You don't need that?
Come on, brother. Yeah.
He did all that for you.
Yes, He does.
For God so loved that He sent His only begotten Son. That whosoever, that's anybody,
Amen.
Should believe on Him. Yeah, I can't do a lot, Ron. I'm not the smartest guy in this room. I'm not the most educated. I'm not the most intelligent. But I can believe on the Lord.
Amen.
I can believe on the Lord.
That's right.
And from the least to the most, that's the way we all get saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
From the best to the worst. That's the way we all get saved.
Yes.
From the richest to the poorest, from the educated to the uneducated, to the cultured to the uncultured, no matter who you are, you're in that whosoever.
Yes.
But you're also in that other whosoever where He says, believeth not.
Come on now. Yeah.
Should be condemned.
Yes.
You know what that makes? That makes a choice.
Yes.
I don't know why He took a little old boy living in a broken home. out of a cornfield. And let him get a pair of glasses. And let him fall in love with reading my reading comic books. And the classics.
Yes.
I don't know why he put me. Nobody I knew liked English class. I thought about this stuff. Nobody I knew liked English class. My granddaughter sees the old Dobson school. She said, "Papa, you was in the penitentiary." Go look at it. Inside, back then, they looked like the penitentiary. There were three places that looked like the penitentiary. The public school, the hospital, and the penitentiary. They all looked just like it. You felt like you was in jail in all three. I don't know why he picked this little boy up and let him fall in love with learning and reading, except this. He knew that's the only way that he could get the gospel to me.
That's right. Amen.
So that I could be saved.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For God so loved Ron Roddy that he gave his only begotten son. Now you listen, if I didn't know it, I couldn't be saved.
Right.
The three greatest words ever read. The three greatest words. But they're not so if you don't believe them enough to have them. They're not so if you don't believe them enough to put your eternal destiny on it. They're only so if you believe it and you receive it. So my question today at 1206, Cornerstone Baptist Church, 455 Hands Mill Highway. Have you ever received that so much love that he sent by receiving his son Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Listen, young people, listen. Have you ever called on him? Have you ever believed it enough to ask for him? Don't think he's going to give it to you. You're better than everybody else. He's just going to give it to you. He's not ever give it to anybody. Jesus died for it and paid for it. You're going to have to ask for it.
Yes.
You say, well, when I get old, I will.
Yeah.
Young people die every day. I preach funerals for a lot of young people. I had friends die at 15, 16, 18, 20, 25, 35. I've had friends die. Sometimes, and then you look back on you older folks, you say, well, why did he leave me? And all of them are gone. You don't have a high school reunion because you'd be the only one there. I'll tell you why. Because he wants you to share the greatest message that has ever been told.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. So I ask you the question. If you died today, look up here. Look up here.
Think
about what I'm going to say. If you ain't heard nothing else I said, y'all boys look up here. All of you. Look at me. We ain't praying yet. Look at me. Today you're going to make a decision. Right now, today, you're going to make a decision. Do I believe this enough to stake my eternal destiny on it? Or am I going to call God a liar and walk out of here and not receive it? God's a liar. I'm not going to believe it. And then wake up in hell one day wishing that this day you'd receive the love that God sent you. Now the altar will be open. Some of you Christians, listen, you've forgotten how great a love it was. You think about that story I told about putting on those glasses, reading those comic books and joining the Boy Scout. By the way, I didn't last about 2 weeks in the Boy Scout. Didn't have enough money. But you go ahead and you think of your story.
Yes.
And then you think, how long is it? If this love is so great, why have I quit sharing it? Let's stand. Father, thank you for your